Have you ever wondered what it is like to tackle the hurdles from getting an autism diagnosis to seeking help and then finally triumphing over the challenges? Today's guest not only broke through barriers, but also celebrated miracles and milestones along the way. How did Nagoma manage to support her son, find her community, and discover peace amidst the storm? Join us for an uplifting conversation as she shares the encouraging story of her 14-year-old son's journey with autism. Does your child have a speech-language delay and you really want them to talk? Do difficult behaviors derail home life and you know the frustration is a communication struggle? Does your child see a speech therapist and you wonder, what do they do and how can I help? If these or similar questions are in your mind, this podcast is for you. Hello, my name is Dina Lynn Rosenbusch. I am a speech-language pathologist that has worked with children from birth to 21 for 3 decades. And in my classrooms, I see you wanting to connect with the heart of your child, but their speech and language skills create a barrier. So if you have a kiddo that has difficult behaviors, needs to expand their language or learn to say speech sounds, and maybe even receives speech therapy, stay tuned. Because in this podcast, you will learn how to use your daily life as a tool to communication practice and how to do that practice. You will become confident knowing you are making the difference you want to make. And you will hear success stories of parents who have navigated these struggles already. We'll do this all while focusing on building deep, meaningful connection and confidence in your kiddo. So grab a cup of coffee along with a notebook and pen. It's time to speak in the way your child's brain understands, and that is the language of play. Welcome back to this guest episode month in March. This month, we're having every episode be guest episodes, I guess because I have just met a phenomenal amount of people that have wonderful, supportive things to teach and to learn, and I wanted to bring it to you. So this whole month is guest episodes. I'll return to doing episodes by me in April. In the meantime, if you are wondering about the topics I normally teach on, you are still free to email me at hello@thelanguageofplay.com and ask me anything you want. Who knows? Maybe it'll become a podcast episode. Because if you wonder it, lots of parents do. In the meantime, you can find resources in the show notes, such as 21 days of encouragement landing in your inbox to help you along your parenting journey of teaching communication. You can also sign up for my newsletter. As always, I appreciate when reviews are left. I read every single one and appreciate them so much. So if you haven't yet left a review for The Language of Play, please go over to Apple Podcast or wherever you listen to your podcasts and leave a review. Now let's get started with today's episode with Nagoma. Hello, Nagoma. Thank you for being here again on The Language of Play. I am so glad that you're here. Last time we talked about race and how our families can teach about race and culture. And I was so captivated by what it is you had to say that I wanted to have you back again, but this time as a successful parent, because you have raised a 14-year-old so far son with autism. And we know, and many of my listeners have children with autism, and we know that that is not an easy journey. That is a journey of complexity and some despair and confusion, but you have done things along the way that have really helped. And so I would like you to join in. This is why I asked you to come back so you can share your story with my listeners. So thank you for being here.
Thank you, Dina Lynn. I am so happy to be back. I truly enjoyed our last episode, and I'm happy to be back to share my story on this autism wonderful journey of life. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it is all of our pleasure, my pleasure especially. Thank you. So when you realize that your son had autism. Rewind back to, when did you first understand that this is what I'm dealing with?
So when he was born, the story is remarkable because we were trying to have a baby and we were trying to do IVF. And I remember praying to God and saying, Lord, if you did it for Hannah, you can do it for me. And I will name him Samuel. In the Bible, Hannah has a son and she names him Samuel. And so I got pregnant. When we had him, I was overjoyed. I named him Samuel. And about 18 months, he was doing his regular checkup. And our wonderful doctor said she would like for him to go and do the ECI, the early childhood intervention, just for us to be sure that it's not autism. So we did ECI. And at the end of ECI, they actually did the testing and it was autism. And that's when our journey began. It began when we got the diagnosis. Very terrifying. It was terrifying because I just had my daughter. So I just had a baby and I didn't know how to deal. My husband and I were young, confused, angry, upset. I cried a lot because I didn't know what to do. I've never dealt with that before. And getting the diagnosis was just the start for us. And so young in our life and marriage, the first thing we did was seek help. We went for any type of help and we sought help in the system. We sought help with the schools and they were able to provide us with a program specifically made for children with autism. And that was the beginning of our journey with autism in the school system. Now, that was one part of dealing with the diagnosis. Now, dealing with the diagnosis at home was painful because every day we worried. We worried every day, what is he going to do? We thought he was going to play basketball. We thought he was going to play football. We didn't know what his future was going to be. And that was the heart-wrenching part of the help part. And I have to say that I don't know how other parents are dealing with it and their stories, but it was a very lonely journey for us because people didn't understand, or maybe they didn't know how to help. But even when I was looking for help, people abandoned us. I don't know if they did that intentionally or they were afraid to help. I don't know what they thought autism was, but very early we were alone. So it was just my husband and I, my son and my daughter. And we had to figure things out on our own. So when we understood that we were in this together, we started to build our community. So I started to look for other families like mine, other mothers like me, and find out how we could help each other, right? Even in my son's classroom.
Okay.
I spoke to someone and we got along, we exchanged information, we exchanged advice, and also in the church. Lakewood Church here in Katy, in Houston, Texas, they have this wonderful program called the Champions Program. And when we go to church, they actually take care of children with disabilities. And that was another community that helped us get along with this diagnosis. Lakewood Church, they helped a lot. The Champion Club, they were very helpful. They would watch my son. They had everything he needed. They would take care of him. And even after church, they will offer services to help, you know, take care of your children. And that was one other place that I found peace and community in Lakewood Church. And as I got older and he got older, then I decided to go back to school and get a PhD because I wanted to learn how to help him. I wanted to have the mechanisms to help him. I wanted to learn about policy. I wanted to learn about institutions. I wanted to learn how to protect him. I wanted to learn how to advocate for him. And that was what I did for my own sanity, right? Mm-hmm. So that was how I was able to escape the home for a minute or two, go out to school and come back home to him. So I never left him. This PhD program was 3 hours away. I would drive 3 hours going. I would drive 3 hours coming back. I'll get home at midnight just so he can see me in the morning. So it was always about him and, of course, my daughter. So I had two children to think about. And when you have a child with autism, that child is like having 10 children together. You know, it's a lot. So when I figured out this journey was forever, my husband and I started to think about ways to make our lives comfortable. We started to think about, this is it. We can only pray he gets better. And I'm a warrior prayer. I pray a lot. And every time I would pray, he would get better. So he started potty training. He started eating by himself. He was on the bottle till he was 3. He wouldn't get off that bottle because that was his comfort. That was his soothing. It was soothing to him. Mm-hmm. Then the school, I'll never forget, Ms. Renee Henders, one of the best teachers that we've ever met. She helped him potty train. She helped him eat. She helped him talk. So most of the things that he was doing in Renee's class prepared him for his next level. So each time he'll move up a level. So he went from elementary. He went from elementary to the next one. So they had pre-K, then elementary. Then that was when he started to speak properly and put sentences together. Then when he went to junior high, then he started to speak. So when we saw him improving, we started to get better. So when he started, you know, passing his milestones, when he started overcoming challenges, our lives started to improve. So parents, every milestone is an improvement. Take a win. Okay? Take a win. Celebrate it.
So what I'm hearing is one of the things that you did for your own self was to go back to school and get a PhD. That is not in the window of possibility, opportunity, whatever, for a lot of different people. I find that impressive that you were able to do that. I don't think that's very typical. I hear that you said that you prayed a lot. I think that's what a lot of us do. And I'm so glad that you brought that up because the intentions, the prayers, all the hopes, the dreams we have for our children, I think we can anchor them in prayer. And that is very powerful. And then I heard you say that you started feeling encouraged once you started seeing him speak and passing different milestones. So I'm hearing milestones like potty training, but I'm also hearing communication. When you can finally feel potentially, I'm adding this in now, connected to him. Is that what the communication was about? Okay.
Yes.
And it sounds like that happened where you felt like it was really happening in the elementary years. Is that about right?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So the first 7, 8, 10 years was very difficult.
Yes.
Okay. And right now your son is 14.
Yes.
So the last 4 years have been, am I right to assume, a little bit easier?
Yes. A lot easier.
Okay.
A lot easier.
So this is really, really good for our parents to know. Now, since not all of our listeners are going to be able to go back and get that PhD, and they can pray.
Yes.
Let's think about some really practical strategies. If you can remember something that moved the dial for you, you gave kudos to the teachers, and that's great. And I've seen some remarkable teachers too. And I know that, you know, teachers are skilled in this, and that's great. And I don't know if they taught you these things or you figured it out along the way, but what are some of the things that you found were helpful? What you found were like, okay, we did maybe a visual schedule, maybe the listening time, maybe the, like, what was it for you that moved the dial?
So when he started speaking, then I went into full motion at home. Then that's when the Pictionary and the vision came in. So I would take a cardboard paper and I would draw on it, or I would paste pictures on it, and I would write next to it. And I would pull it up and he would read. And every time he would read, we'll all go, yay, yay.
When you say started speaking, I'm assuming from my background, that means like one word,
yes.
Two words. So we're not talking about him starting to speak in sentences. We're saying,
No. Mommy, daddy.
Okay, that sets the stage for my listeners. You're talking when he starts to say his first couple of words. Right from there, you went into action and you started getting pictures so that he can do it. And you had the word written, mommy, underneath perhaps your picture. So when he would see your picture, he'd say mommy, and we would call it reading. Am I reading it?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Correct.
Keep going.
Correct. And then we'll do that for daddy and his sister. Then when we saw he could potty train, then we started to do it at home. So we would teach him pull up, pull down, and just we will hand over. So a lot of it is hand over, mommies and daddies. A lot of handovers in the beginning, okay? Pull up, pull down, then sit.
Good. So what I'm hearing now is that you did hand over hand, and you paired it with the words that describe what your hand over hand is doing. Because I can see you in the video right now, and my listeners can't. So what Nagoma is saying is that she's showing like the pairing of timing with the words and the doing. So when she's moving her hands downward, she's saying pull down. She's moving her hands upward, and she's saying pull up. So can I assume you did that in like lots of areas, eating and books?
Yes. Oh, yes, everything. And when he started eating, it was a lot of hand over spoon and open. You have to demonstrate with your mouth, right? Mouth open, ah. Then you insert the spoon and say, close. Mm. Then they do it. And I did this for a long time. So now he independently does it. But it was a long time for him to hold it on his own because he was used to the bottle a lot.
Sure.
So, yeah. So a lot of hand helping. And also taking plate to the sink. You have to help him hold the bowl or her, then walk them to the sink so they can understand after eating, bowl, sink. And that way they're independent to do it on their own.
Eventually.
But that's how it started with my son. We started early. So now he does it independently. But we started when we realized that he could hold a spoon.
Right.
Because he couldn't hold a spoon for a long time because OT had to work with him with grasping the spoon. So when he started that, we went with it gradually every day, consistently. The key is consistency, parents. Consistency. Please don't give up. Always remember your angel is going to do it eventually. Just be consistent and kind to yourself. And if they don't want to do it, that's okay. Come back to it. But again, he has to eat, or she.
Right. I want to highlight that. Be kind to yourself, parents. When you are trying to teach a child that is learning slower or differently than you want them or expect them to learn, to kindly and gently, to yourself as well as the child, repeat the same motion, repeat the hand over hand, do it again with kindness and compassion for yourself and the child, even when it feels like the 100th, 200th, 500th time you're doing it. It is still going to sink in better if you have that kindness to yourself and them.
Yes. And celebrating these miracles and milestones and accomplishments, parents.
Woo-hoo!
You celebrate them by finding what your baby loves. My son loved to go to Walmart and just walk around. My son loved to go to Macy's and just walk around. So we associated him doing just something little. Then we would say, we're going to Walmart. We're going to Macy's. So over time, he realized that, oh, if I eat, they'll take me. Now, I know this may be asking too much, parents. But you have to think about you're in this for the long haul. So you're going to have to go through some stages to get there where they can wean off the rewards, right? So we did a lot of rewarding for him to accomplish a lot of tasks at home. Now, this patience in school, he's rewarded with an iPad or something flashy or a toy. They do that in school. Or whatever they need to get to him to get it done. But at home, we gave something fun. We rewarded him with something fun, and he would complete that task, right? Then we would take him where he wanted to go.
That sounds to me like you're also rewarding him with the connection to you that he's seeking. Sometimes I know our kiddos with autism don't appear to be seeking connection, but they truly are. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like you're building that connection.
Yes, with him, his dad, and his sister. And I always tell parents, celebrate everything. Don't look for too much. Celebrate the smile. When he first said mama and dada and his sister's name, we celebrated for the whole month because they told me that my son would never have a conversation with me and that he would be nonverbal and that I should teach him sign language. And for him to have started to say words, it was a miracle. We felt like our prayers were being answered. We prayed bold prayers. We kept praying. And each time we prayed, another milestone would happen. Now, when you reward your children, then you're supporting him and his community. Because parents, when your son goes back to school and improves, they see that you're doing the work. They see that you're doing the work with your child, and they do more. Not all schools are the same. Not all teachers are the same. But the parents are the backbone for their child because they know their strength, right? So you can tell when there is no improvement in the classroom. There's where advocacy comes in. That's where you go and you fight for your child.
I want to highlight this particular thing you're saying again, okay? So what I'm hearing is that you're saying that when the child goes back to the classroom, the teachers know if you've been doing the practices at home. And I will say this is so true because when the child comes to the classroom, let's say that they're just working on, well, you mentioned potty training, so let's talk about that. We know mm-hmm. that you can do it at home and it happens, but if you're not being really rigid with it, and or maybe not rigid, that's probably the wrong word, but if you're being consistent with
consistent.
It, that's the word I want, mm-hmm. yes. yes. And when you're being consistent with it, then when he comes to school, we get to work on the next step and then tell you the next step to be consistent on. But as long as there isn't improvement, we are working on like step one, step one, step one. But if you can do the step one at home, pretty soon we're doing step two, and then you're doing step two, and then pretty soon we can do step three and invite you and teach you how to do step three. And we can make progress faster together.
Exactly. It's a team effort, parents and teachers. And I feel for parents, I feel for teachers, and I feel for those babies. Because not everybody has the strength for this, Dina Lynn. And we have to show some mercy and compassion to people. It's not easy, especially for parents who have two or more children with autism. And it's a reality. It's tough. And the challenges become double, right? Mm-hmm. So when you get to that point, find your community. It's important. Like the way we clicked, Dina Lynn, autism, we connected with one word, autism. And I took advantage of it and I reached out to you.
Yes.
Because I knew that it would be beneficial to me, right?
Yep.
Parents, don't be afraid to connect with people. Don't be afraid of rejection. It is a whole community out there waiting to support you, waiting to listen to you, waiting to give you a voice. And also, what I want to say about community is make sure that when your child is diagnosed with autism, you get them into your state waiver. That will help you when they turn 18. It's very important now. Now, this is the academic coming out. I mean, this is the professor talking, okay? Make sure when your child is diagnosed with autism, as early as 2, 3, that's fine. Get them enrolled in your state waiver for Medicaid and any other disability insurance that they can be on until they turn 18. I don't know what your state has, but I know Texas, they have CLASS, they have Medicaid, and they have a lot of things to help when they turn 18. So please get your children enrolled in some type of waiver. That way you don't have to suffer the cost when they turn 18. And make sure you have their guardianship plan before they turn 18. So you won't have to pay a lot of money after they turn 18. A lot of parents don't get this information. I was lucky to get wonderful therapists at ECI that told me how to get him enrolled. And now he's 14 and I am so grateful. And now I'm sharing the gem with you parents. Please get your kids on those waivers.
That is very, very critical and important news. Now, if somebody doesn't really know how to do it or what it is, they might say, I want to communicate with that woman that told me. So I'm going to put your contact information in the chat, but how would you like people to communicate with you?
Oh, they can email me and they can connect with me on LinkedIn.
And can you say the email you'd like them to use right here? Because some people are driving their car as they listen.
Oh, okay. It's N as in Nancy, G O M as in Mary, A as in Apple, 2003@gmail.com. So it's my first name, Ngoma, N-G-O-M-A, 2003@gmail.com.
I will be sure to have that in the show notes, listeners, in case you have a question for Ngoma about how this works. And if you want to communicate with her further for encouragement or advice regarding your child that is growing up with some disabilities, be it autism or perhaps something else. Ngoma, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the wealth of advice that you gave us today. Thank you for sharing your experience and whittling it down to, like, where are those starting blocks? And I know that now your son is doing real good. So, and we've gone a little longer than I expected, but as a closing, can you give us just a few sentences about where he's at now?
Oh, he's beautiful. He's 14. He's reading. He's walking. He's independent. He's putting his clothes on. He's doing chores. I mean, we struggle in some areas, but I can leave him independently and not worry about him for at least 12 hours. And that's a blessing. And mm-hmm. And I just want you all to find peace in your storm, make a difference through advocacy, education, and awareness and acceptance movements in your schools. Okay. And support yourselves and love yourselves. And please be kind to yourselves.
Beautiful, Ngoma. Have yourself a wonderful day.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day, Dina Lee.
Thank you. Hey, parents, I hope you found this episode helpful. If so, would you please take 30 seconds and share it with a friend who also lives or works with children? I would really appreciate it if you would leave a quick review for the show on Apple Podcasts. I read every review, and it lights me up to know that this show is making a difference. Then come join my Facebook community, where you'll meet other parents who are dedicated to helping their children grow too. You'll find the link in the show notes. Thank you for joining me. Now it's time to go. Let's pop our kiddos in the strollers and go look around outdoors and see what we have to talk about.